All right, and we're recording. Welcome back to the MMA show. Nate and Jeff, how's it going, guys?
It's going fantastic. How about you guys?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
I'm excited. It's fight week. UFC 291. There's so much to talk about since the last time we sat down and did this. The fans have been wondering where we are, and we're committed to doing this more frequently. I feel like partly my fault for not getting on the ball and rounding you guys up, but obviously we just talked beforehand, so we're committed. We're going to keep this going, and I'm very excited for it. So I'm happy to have you guys back.
Delighted to be.
Okay. UFC 291, main topic for the episode, but I know there's a bunch of stuff that has happened since the last time we talked, so let's cover some of the bigger news, and then we'll get to UFC 291, because everything, all roads lead to 291. So, Jeff, let's start with you, because I know there's a topic that you've been wanting to talk about, so you can just set it off. Let's go.
I want to talk about our boy Francis Ngannou. A lot of people thought he was making a big mistake, thought he was doubting, or they doubted his plan, and he took a big risk leaving the UFC. It wasn't even necessarily a money thing. There's a lot of things that he was looking for that they wouldn't give him, and it's completely panning out. He has a badass contract. He's set to fight Tyson Fury, and he's proven everybody wrong. He's getting a huge bag. I love it for him.
Yeah, and I feel like the UFC, I think they fumbled the bag, right? Because they had this super popular heavyweight champion. Not a lot of fighters like him, come by too often. So for them to not want to work with him, and I get it, he was asking for a lot, but that's a ton of respect for him, for a champion, someone with his status and his position, to want to fight, to have the fighters get more. I think that's amazing. And if you look at a lot of champions before him, nobody's wanted to do that. And I get it. It's, really selfish, and you have to be like that because you fought your way to the top. All the guys, below you didn't really help you to get up there, and for you to want to, kind of stir the pot and, kind of make the relationship rocky with the bosses to try to get everybody better deals. I could understand why people wouldn't want to do it, but for someone like Francis to do it makes me respect him so much more than a lot of the other champions, which is crazy.
Yeah. And to piggyback off that, one of the things that I think is so cool about the deal he worked out is that his opponent gets a minimum of $2 million to show up and fight him. Obviously, that's not super relevant in a super fight versus like a guy like Tyson Fury. But if he keeps going on, Francis Ngannou, there might be a time where he has to fight someone a lot smaller. And it would be nice, and it's kind of cool that they're going to get a big payday to be able to fight someone as risky as Ngannou. I think he's looking out for other fighters by doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out, because you got to think, since he signed that deal with PFL, PFL's in talks to buying Bellator right now. So, I mean, you combine those two organizations, so you might have something that's going to threaten the UFC for the first time in a long time.
I think the first time since Strikeforce, but it does get a little weird because you got to think back then, Strikeforce, they were under a different umbrella. But when you look at PFL, they're all under like that ESPN umbrella right now. Obviously, they're going to want to be on linear television because they have a streaming stuff, but obviously they want to be on linear television. So who knows how that's all going to shake out. But I think it would be cool for them to buy Bellator. I am surprised because I never thought Bellator would be up for sale, just because who they're owned by, Viacom, and they have like endless amounts of money. So I'm just curious if they're just over the MMA business or what, because if you look at the Bellator roster, they have some really awesome fighters. Obviously, I think their middleweight champion, Johnny Eblen, he's super talented and could easily hang in the top five of the UFC middleweights. So I'm excited that the organization will hopefully get bought and be able to live on in some sort of aspect, right? And not those fighters just kind of disappearing. But if they go to PFL, it'd be interesting. And I don't know if like how the contracts would work out, right? Because if you're a Bellator fighter, you get absorbed by the PFL. Like, what if you don't want to do the tournament structure, and you know, then you're gonna have to be relegated to these one-off fights, and like your contract could take forever to finish out. I that's the kind of stuff that I think about. That just kind of worries me about like that whole deal if it goes through.
I think they'd have to put some type of clause to make it that people, you know, because they agreed to be with Bellator, and so if they get bought out, maybe not for the lower fighters, but probably some of the higher fighters, they probably could have a chance to renegotiate or at least move on if that's what they choose. Because I think if some people don't want to be, you know, in that organization for whatever reason, you know, the foursome there is not a good look anyway, especially if you're trying to be an organization for fighters in general.
100%. But going back to Francis, for him to kind of be out for a while, but obviously he had to, you know, have his surgeries. So I guess it's the time off has been good, and so he's able to heal. But I am happy that this boxing match has finally been announced, because there were so many rumors, right? Because there was Anthony Joshua on the table, but that didn't happen. And I'm just excited that we're getting the lineal, you know, UFC heavyweight champion versus the lineal, you know, boxing heavyweight champion, because this is probably never going to happen again if you think about it, right? In our lifetime, to have these two dominant champions come together for a crazy fight like this. So I'm very excited, and I'm happy that he got the fight. There's a bunch of numbers thrown out, how much he's, you know, allegedly going to make. The number that I keep hearing is like, you know, $35 million, which is a lot of money, right? Especially when you think about someone coming from MMA to make that kind of money. It's obviously not as much as Conor made, but still, it's a lot of money.
I love it. I also love how mad a lot of boxing fans I'm seeing are mad at it. They can't. It's kind of crazy to me, considering that boxing in general is pretty sketchy just to begin with, like the way it's structured and everything. So I'm kind of surprised that people are so upset at it. If we're talking about the fight itself, I think it's a huge mismatch, if we're being honest. I mean, yeah, Ngannou always has a puncher's chance, but I don't think he has any kind of striking advantage other than potentially the power. I just love that he's going to make a shit ton of money, and he's helping further put his brand on the map to people who might not have heard of him before, and it's going to help him help other fighters later on down the road.
Yeah, I'm always rooting for the MMA guy. I don't think
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't think he does it.
Like when Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather, I actually passed out because I was traveling from Orange County back to Palm Springs to my parents' house. And I remember I was so pumped because I watched every press conference that they did around the world. I remember I was making my coworkers watch it, because this is when I was working at this startup and we were able to do whatever. So I was putting the press conference on and I was getting everybody hyped. And I remember it's fight day. I'm so excited. I'm like, this is it. Finally, like, MMA is going to be able to shit on boxing. Floyd Mayweather is finally going down. And I remember I passed out. And I remember I woke up and I'm like, oh shit, I fucking missed the fight. And I was like, please let me open my phone to Conor McGregor with a W, and then just having to catch up and like read that he lost. I was like, damn it, this sucks. Like, how did he lose? So I had to like go back and watch it like after the fact. But just, yeah, there's always been this rivalry with MMA and boxing, obviously. And it's weird that there is, just because it's two different sports. But I was rooting for Conor. He lost. All the MMA guys that lost to Jake Paul, I'm just like, that's fucking shitty. So now here we are again. We're in this position. We're like, all right, MMA versus boxing, and obviously it's under, you know, the house of boxing. But once again, I'm hoping MMA comes out on top. I hope Francis Ngannou shocks the world, because can you imagine how crazy that would be? Because this is going on their professional record, but you know, the only thing that's really up for question is if it's gonna, you know, if the belt's gonna be online, which whatever, as long as it's going to be a pro fight, I think that's the most important thing. Because if it was an exhibition, I feel like it would kind of take away a little bit from like the whole event.
I mean, I'm going to watch it for sure. I'm excited about it. And I think Ngannou has enough power, and the way he, like, his striking isn't even remotely like something a lot of people could train for, I guess. But But a guy like Fury, he's so quick and has such good movement, probably stays out of the way very much like he did Deontay Wilder. You know what I mean? For the most part, I'm stoked on it. You know what's funny about the Maymack fight is I paid for it. My stream went down. I ended up getting an illegal like bootleg stream, and that worked better than the stream I paid for. It was crazy.
That's crazy. Did you get a refund?
No.
Yeah,
I just give a refund continued to deal UFC from that day forward. Sorry, Dana.
Dana White. Dana White's such a hater. The fact that he was like, we don't do these gimmick fights, and then he's like begging Tyson to come over to fight John Jones, and like, come on. And then he's talking about doing Mark Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk. I'm like, that guy, like, I used to love Dana White, but just over the years, he's just become so just annoying and just does the dumbest shit.
I kind of like him, but in the sense that he's very much kind of like a bad guy that's likable at times, and he's still responsible largely for a lot of cool shit in terms of MMA. You know, there's a lot of nostalgia too.
Yeah, but I feel like, okay, he did his part, but I feel like he's just kind of like overstayed his welcome, because like I can't think of the last time in recent years where I'm like, holy shit, Dana White's awesome. It's always been like, wow, Dana White's doing dumb shit, he's saying dumb shit, he's making you know, dumb comments and blatantly lying to everybody. It's like, I can appreciate what he did on the come up, right? Total respect for him, yeah. You know, believing in the UFC, but I feel like it's just gotten to a point where it would be fine without him.
Yeah, I mean, they're setting up Hunter Campbell to pretty much be the next guy in Lion. He was the one actively trying to sign or keep Francis on. So I kind of wonder if he was overridden by Dana White or like different people where he's just like, fuck it, we need to keep this guy. But since he's not at that level yet, you know, they pretty much just had to go with whatever Dana White, you know, suggested in the end.
Yeah, because we've seen in the past, they're able to let Conor McGregor go. And obviously they had to, you know, work with him and kind of co-promote with Conor McGregor. It's like they could have done the same thing with Francis. It just seems so stupid. And even Errol Hawani made the point how it would have been way easier to make the fight when Francis was with the UFC, because they were all under the ESPN umbrella. And it just, like, you know, obviously it was like seemed like it was a lot of personal stuff that got in the way, and why Francis didn't stay with the UFC, right? It's because the UFC had something against him and didn't want to back their champ. And, you know, just, they could have, I felt like, could have had some sort of compromise, obviously, maybe not want to pay his opponents that much money, but it's like, man, I felt like they should have done a little more to try to keep their champ. It's just insane.
They tried to strong arm him and it didn't work. And Ganu pulled their punk card. And it's working. Love it for him.
Yeah, sometimes it's better, you know, to go and you know, stay true to yourself. And obviously, you got to go navigate these waters. Nobody's ever been in that position, so seems yeah. He's like doing a good job so far.
Here's a question. Correct me if my timeline is wrong about this. I want to say that Fury and Ganu got announced. And then, like, hours later, UFC announced Poirier versus Gaethje as the BMF. Am I wrong about that? Or I feel like they tried to announce something to sort of counteract the Ngannou announcement.
Yeah, so Errol Hawani tweeted that, hey, like, Fury Ngannou is going to get announced any minute now. And then UFC, they tried to put together a Stipe John Jones press conference, but it couldn't.
But
they couldn't get it together. So they pushed the Jones Stipe announcement up because they're trying to, like, you know, compete with the Fury and Ngannou announcement, which I don't think really worked. Yeah. So yeah, the press conference, they tried to do the press conference, didn't work. So then they announced it like the following day, which, you know, that's obviously they're always going to try to counter program and steal the heat, but it's going to be still be fine. I don't think, you know, them announcing Joe and Stipe, you know, that's going to be a great card too in November, but I still think Fury and Ngannou still will be a pretty massive pay-per-view.
100%.
What do you guys think of the return of John Jones?
Yeah, I mean, like, he looked impressive, you know, like he just looked like he wasn't out of it at all, like calm and collected, didn't even break a sweat. So it's kind of pretty crazy. Like, most people thought Gon would have some type of chance, you know, at least put up some type of fight, and just he got made a fool. Even like you see like the beams of him like sitting against the cage, like looking up like, what the hell just happened? So, I mean, it's a pretty good matchup, but I kind of want to see what he does against Stipe overall, because I feel like Gon just wasn't to that level yet, and I think that just clearly showed.
Yeah. I think John Jones in that fight showed that he's going to be super dominant as a heavyweight and has the ability, I think, to be even more dominant than he was at light heavyweight, especially with some of the younger guys he was fighting that were giving him a real hard time. A lot of heavyweights are bigger, slower, they're a little older. Gon not being one of them, and he just smoked him. I think his fight versus Stipe is going to look not as one-sided as Gon, but I think Stipe gets murked in that fight pretty hard. And I feel like Ngannou was the person in that division because of his power, because he has a little bit of a grappling ability and his size. I think he was the only one left that could potentially have given John Jones a hard time.
I still believe that Gon kind of let the moment get to him.
Yeah,
maybe so. Deal. And I just honestly feel like it was one of those situations where he lost the fight before he even stepped into the cage, you know, like back in the day with people fighting Anderson Silva, they would let his like mystique, you know, just defeat them before they even got into the ring. And that's just the kind of sense that I got from Gon. Cause you know, if you look at all of his past performances, he can fight, but I think just the moment got to him, and, you know, John Jones was able to capitalize on that.
Yeah. I agree with that too. It's interesting to me that they're saying that Tom Aspinall is the guy that could potentially give him a really hard time. I don't see it, if I'm being honest. I know Aspinall's got like obviously like crazy speed, and he's got good grappling. He's got a little bit of everything.
Sorry about that.
I think Owens is just a level above everybody.
I think Aspinall, if he fought him now, would probably lose. But I think a few, like maybe he wants to fight against the Russian or whoever wins the next. Who's that guy fighting? I can't remember. But that's supposed to be like the pretty much the next layup that he wants to fight against either the two next heavyweights that are fighting. I can't even think of their fucking names.
I think
it's that's just the state of the heavyweight division. It's fucking like you don't even really know. Like, who's going to be at top or who's going to do anything in that division? They all kind of fallen behind. I think light heavyweight's like that, too. I think what first, usually one of the most dominant, you know, aspects of MMA is the heavyweight and light heavyweight, just because of the sheer violence that can happen of that. And I feel like right now it's like the weakest divisions in the UFC.
Yeah, you're talking about Sergey Pavlovich.
Yeah, yes. He's fucking pretty good. He's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
He's good. Yeah, I would like to see Jones fight again. So the CBA fight in November will be cool. But yeah, the heavyweight, light heavyweight just aren't my favorite divisions right now. I feel like light heavyweight, ever since Dominic Reyes beat John Jones, it just kind of threw that whole division upside down.
Jamal Hill freaking stepping down too, because he, you know, tore his Achilles, or, you know, hurt his leg, and that sucks. Because,
well, you know, the UFC kind of forced him out of it. I don't know if you guys like really looked into it, but they kind of told him like, "Hey, you got your title opportunity because Jury, what the fuck is his name? I'm drawing him right now.
Jury,
yeah, he got injured and he relinquished the belt. So you're in that same position. So why don't you do that?" They kind of like strong armed him and made him kind of give up the belt, but it's just like, that whole situation was so stupid. Like, okay, Yuri, that was his choice to give up the belt, respect. But with Jamal Hill, you know, his Achilles injury wasn't like Yuri's shoulder injury, where the doctors are saying they never seen anything like it before. It was so nasty. So they're so keen on doing all these interim titles. Why were they so quick to strip Jamal Hill? Why couldn't they have just done an interim title, let Jamal Hill heal up and just come back? Because they were doing interim titles like it was nothing. But when it comes to Jamal Hill, they're like, no, fam, like, you got to give up the belt, which I think is totally unfair. Not the biggest fan of Jamal Hill, but at the same time, I don't think he should have given up his belt.
I think they're doing it as a way to further push Predetta entering that division.
Yeah, but he's not even fighting for the belt.
But I think that has something to do with it.
But, I don't know, Jan, I mean, could have a chance too. It's like, are you going to put Jan in the title picture after beating him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we'll get to our picks for that in a little bit, but I got fight.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll get to that, but there's someone waiting in the wings at light heavyweight, but we'll get there. But John Jones is cool. Happy he's back. Hopefully spicing up the heavyweight division a little more. There's a lot of old guys up there. Obviously, there's some new ones coming up. There's some new ones in the top five, so I'm excited to see them. Hopefully be able to get their opportunity to fight for a belt coming soon. But more recently, a legend, Robbie Lawler, retired. Which I'm happy he went out on his own accord. He wasn't one of those fighters that stuck around too long and we watched them get beat up, because watching BJ Penn go down the way he did, watching Frankie Edgar lose as many times as he did, that stuff breaks my heart, because those guys are legends. And some of my most favorite memories of watching MMA is watching those guys fight. So to see them stick around just a little too long, that bummed me out. So I'm happy for somebody like Robbie Lawler, for him to be able to go out on his own accord and go out with a victory.
That yeah. Shit warmed my heart. And I got a question for you guys. When's the last time you've seen somebody get a knockout like that? A, that early, and B, from the clinch in like really close range. That felt really crazy and kind of like vintage Lawler. And you don't see that too much anymore. It was awesome. Yeah.
I think they picked a good opponent for him because Price is a little reckless, but I don't think they expected him to get starched that easily either. I know some people are saying like he like lost the fight on purpose, but I'm like, man, no, he got uppercutted to hell. You know? And then you can just see right on the temple when he's breaking away from him, and that's what just sent him out, you know?
It's because Robbie Lawler is still a fucking demon. I love it.
Look at his fight against like Diaz, for example, et cetera. Like, he was still doing pretty good, you know? Like, it's just, as you get older, you know, the younger people are always going to have an advantage, unfortunately. But he still hung in there. Not a lot of people can go as long as he did and as successfully as he did. He had some crazy fights, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was happy to see him come back to the UFC and have great success, because for him to kind of dethrone I'm drawing a blank on his name, the guy who's on steroids, Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah
So for him to dethrone him, that made me very happy, because obviously there's still people cheating to this day, but when someone like Johnny Hendricks, who wasn't even that good of a fighter but clearly on steroids, that just really pissed me off. So for someone like Robbie Lawler to be able to take him out made me very happy.
Yeah. I loved that. So what are your guys' favorite Lawler fights? Just you can pick one. I'll start. I like Lawler Condit. I thought that fight was freaking unbelievable.
Freaking Lawler McDonald, like when he split his, you know, lip. Like, I mean, that's just like iconic. And then he's all yelling. You just see his like lip again splitting because he's just so enraged. So, and that was just a brutal fight. Like those guys left it all on there. I mean, that's the reason they put him in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I mean, it's what a fight. I remember just watching that as it played out, just being shocked, you know, like, oh man, that is brutal.
I just am bummed that Rory wasn't there to get inducted with Lawler, because, you know, their fight's getting inducted. I just wish he could have been there for it, because you can't. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, I didn't realize he wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't there. He's apparently off the grid.
Yeah. Didn't he retire or stop fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he's just like, I don't want to be involved with that at all. He's always was pretty deeply religious. So maybe he's just finally just putting all of his effort in that. And it's like, I don't want to go back to that. But yeah, without him commenting on it, how no one really knows.
I think it might have a lot to do with that. I actually used to work with an older lady who knew him through church, because she had like family elsewhere and would travel. And we somehow got to talking about MMA or something like that. It came up and she asked me if I'd ever heard of Rory McDonald. And I said, yes, you know, cited the Lawler fight and stuff like that. Thought he was total savage. And she told me, and this was 2 or 3 years ago, that she knows him through church and that he hates fighting. Was completely over it even then. And that's like what she only knows of the sport because she knew him. And he would just talk about how he didn't like it that much. So maybe he's been over it for a while, you know?
Yeah. He's, you know, touted as the next GSP. Didn't quite get there, but still really talented. I'm still a fan of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah. My favorite Lawler fight is probably when he fought Melvin Manhoef in Strikeforce.
Oh, dude, yes.
Yeah, crazy knockout.
And he was getting lit up too.
Yeah, those leg kicks. He was getting tore up, but
I'm gonna rewatch that.
Yeah. Fun fight, but happy to have been able to watch most of Robbie Lawler's career, and for, like I said, for him to go out and not be, you know, getting knocked out left and right. That I just like when fighters you know, go out like, you know, when the time is right, not when it's too late.
Yeah. And what's interesting about it to me is it feels like he's one of the last of like the old guard. Like when UFC was like crossing over into mainstream, like he's from before that. Like he was on like Miletich fighting systems and stuff like that, and was with those people. And he's been around forever. Is there anyone else currently fighting that is kind of from that era? Maybe like Andrei Arlovsky.
Yeah. Yeah. Knows, he'll probably never retire. Did Diego Sanchez retire? I'm trying to remember.
Last I saw him in the Sanchez fight was in Khabib's.
Oh, yeah,
he's the Eagle.
Eagle
FC. Yeah, it was an Eagle. And he fought Kevin Lee at 165, and it was really weird.
Kevin Lee.
Rest in peace.
Retired again. I did not like watching that. I was hoping he'd do a lot better with his comeback. So to see him just get completely starched within under a minute was not good.
Yeah, he took out Gregor Gillespie, and then it wasn't good after that.
Which is crazy, because Gillespie is super badass. And what's he been up to? I haven't heard anything from him, and he was so promising.
Yeah. I have no idea. He's out fishing. Maybe he just, you know, trying to actually recover right, which is smart. You don't want to come back so soon. Like when Kamaru Usman came back too soon against Leon Edwards, I was like, there's no way, dude. I get it. You were such a dominant champion and you got knocked out. You might have thought it was a lucky strike, whatever, but still, you got to give your brain time to recover. And, you know, I honestly feel like he came back too soon. And we all saw how that fight played out. And now he's just kind of in limbo in that division. He was doing these fake call outs to Khamzat. And where is he now? It's weird.
Yeah. I kind of feel like if Usman would have waited a little bit, you know, or maybe fought someone else, you know, not go straight to Leon, and kind of get some confidence back. Cause that was like the biggest thing with watching that fight, is he was so gun shy when usually he would pushed the pace, a little dictating. Not to say Edwards completely outclassed him, but, you know, it's just you could tell the confidence of Edwards in that fight, and he was able to really kind of dictate the entire fight. Like, Usman, usually the one pushed forward, usually grappling, doing everything he can, and just kind of seemed hesitant and really gun-shy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
When you get, you know, headshot like that, it's going to, you know, ruin your confidence. And especially if you got to run it back right away, you're in his hometown, your knees are already super bad. Like, there's just a lot going against Kamaru Usman, but he still decided to take that fight.
100%. I felt like him taking that fight was very much an ego thing, even though he got knocked out, or maybe even because of the way he got knocked out. Because aside from round one, he was winning like every bit of that fight, and then just got demolished and caught. And I bet you through his ego and through the way that fight played out, he probably put a lot of stock into that, thinking that he would still be better. And I think you guys are right. He should have obviously waited a little longer before coming back, but maybe his ego made him think he would just get it back real easy, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, people were trying to say that he, you know, Kamaru was going to be the greatest welterweight champion ever, but it's like, it's crazy. It can all get taken away so fast. And yeah, you know, I was a fan of him. Like, you know, like I don't hate him or anything, but I just don't like that he made that decision to take that rematch so soon, because like I said, he's in limbo. Who's he going to fight now? Everyone's booked up.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if his management had a hand in that at all. Because sometimes, like, as a manager, you got to tell your fighter no and advise them, like, hey, maybe you should sit out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, like, what advice they were giving him, or even, like, his coaches.
They're probably telling him, you got it.
Yeah.
Really? You think Whitman was doing that? Whitman is extremely, like...
No, I was talking about... No, Ali. Whitman's his coach, not his manager.
Yeah, manager Ali.
I was referencing the team in general.
I was just like, hey, I believe in you, brother.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
But it's crazy times. I want to talk about our boy Robert Whittaker, which, you know, sadly his last fight, he lost to someone who I really don't like.
Dude, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's one of those things. You know, DDP did pretty damn well, you know, a lot better than I think most people gave him, you know, credit for. And I mean, Whittaker didn't. As Whittaker was building up to the fight, he was like, this guy is actually really dangerous, regardless of what people think. And I mean, even Whittaker was right about that, because he got, you know, stopped, which is not very common for someone like, you know, just look at the performances Whittaker had against, you know, everyone else at middleweight. And, you know, the only time he's looked really bad like that is against Israel. So to actually have someone else to outclass him was very surprising. But it's not like it mattered, because the guy dropped out of the title fight he was going to get anyway. So,
yeah, all that hoopla, all the I'm the real African champion or whatever to pull out once you get the opportunity, that I'm sure that pissed off the UFC, because now they have to find another fight for Izzy, and it's not going to be as as anticipated as something like that, where there was like a rivalry going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is weird to me, because he didn't seem to take a tremendous amount of damage versus Whittaker.
It's probably like a pre-existing injury.
Yeah, maybe so.
Or he's just a little bitch.
Yeah,
he doesn't want it. I doubt that's it, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think they cross paths eventually.
Yeah, it's who else is going to fight? I mean, they're saying Sean Strickland's probably going to be the one against the title fight next. Which is sad, because he shouldn't, you know, but if he's already gone through everyone else, so what else can he really do at that point?
Well, what if Khamzat makes it to the top? Because he's on his way, because if he beats Paulo Costa in October, that's another top contender under his belt.
He'd have to do it like a flash KO, like when he first was starting, when we were watching him.
No, like, not to fight him right, you know, not to replace DDP, but I'm talking about, like, I can see Khamzat leapfrogging DDP.
Yeah.
like get in line, or they fight for number one contender or something. Because if Kamza is victorious in October, I'm sure he's going to want to fight because he hasn't fought in a long time. And I'm not sure when the next Abu Dhabi card is, but I'm sure if he wins, he's a big draw. So they're like, all right, cool. Like, we can use him. Like, let's, you know, turn him around quick. Let's make a cool matchup. I could see that happening.
I agree with that 100%. In fact, I favor him heavily over Costa. And one of the main reasons why I favor him so much is that Costa has a historic, really difficult time getting down to 85. And Khamzat is moving up from 170. So Khamzat's going to be fresher, like already from the jump, not having a hard weight cut. And he's grappling centric, which requires a lot of cardio. And Costa is going to have a hard ass weight cut and has to go through hell to even get to 185, and that can compromise your performance.
Yeah, but I'm just curious how Khamzat is going to deal with his size.
Easily. Wrestle fucks him. Takes him down.
You think so? I think I'm mostly picking Costa in that fight.
You're picking Costa?
Mm-hmm. Khamzat's good, but he's not Bo Nickel or John Jones.
I don't know. I guess if you look at the Burns fight, I mean, if you kind of take that into account, you get someone like Costa, and Costa kind of uses the same strategies, you know, you definitely get, and also we haven't seen Khamzat fight in a minute, you know?
So. I think Khamzat learned his lesson from the Burns fight. He's going to fight smarter and play to his strengths.
I don't think he fought Kelvin Holland pretty smart. He went there pretty reckless. Yeah.
Yeah, he bomb rushed them. And I think he got, if it was anyone else, I don't think.
He didn't fight Holland? He didn't get touched.
Yeah, but he went in there reckless. It wasn't, you know, calculated. He just started diving for takedowns.
Oh, man. I mean, I thought, if anything, that Holland kind of fucked up by putting his hand out, thinking they were going to slap fives, and then.
Yeah, well, that's the sportsman thing to do. If you're going to, you know, if it's there, and, you know, obviously, if you don't want to do it, you can, you know, give them a little finger saying, no, we're not touching hands, and not wait to, you know, kind of be cheap about it. And then also, you got to realize that was taken on super short notice. That was in a very unusual circumstance because Khamzat, he cheated, he missed weight. So it's like, come on. I think you're drinking a little too much of his sauce. He's a good fighter, but like I said, he's no Bo Nickel. He's no John Jones.
So, no sauce, actually. In fact, I was... Ooh, we'd have to play it back. I think I picked Burns against him. Before they fought, I want to say I picked Burns.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, though. No, I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm on his sauce. I just think... Unless Costa like really bosses him around with his size and comes in like great shape, I don't see how he nullifies the grappling.
Dude, he can grapple.
We'll see.
You forget he's Brazilian. Yeah. Come on,
it'll be coming up soon enough.
Yeah.
But only one way to find out.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun fight. I'm excited to see both of them fight again.
Yeah, I love that fight.
How do we even get to Khamzat? Oh, because we're talking about
middleweight. Yeah, but since
like leading up to all those, yeah. Izzy got no one to fight but Strickland.
Good old Izzy. Yeah, it's pretty interesting because Izzy, there is fresh talent for him to fight, but obviously they just need to get to him because he's beat a lot of the top contenders. Because he's done his job, right? He's been able to stay you know, pretty active, and he shows up to fight, and he's been winning.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that Sean Strickland like actually has much for him, because unless he tries to grapple him or something, which you really never see. But
I don't think he has a chance.
It looked pretty similar to the Predetta fight, honestly. Oh, God.
Imagine he pulls a Matt Serra. Like Matt Serra versus GSP. Oh my God. Imagine he knocks out Izzy. That would be insane.
It'd be insane. And his social media presence would become so fucking unbearable.
Yeah.
I'm here for it, though.
He's not that bad of a guy for like.
I like him.
I just think he was annoying. But then when I listen to him on Joe Rogan, I'm like, okay, I understand his whole shtick. So.
that episode was funny because he talked more than Rogan did, like way more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he kept wanting to talk about his dad, which I'm like, okay, this guy has daddy issues.
Major daddy issues.
Yeah, which I'm like, this is really strange. Like, I was like, I a lot of the things that he does made so much sense after hearing him explain his life.
Yeah.
So
wish he fought like that. He's so calculated and careful and like just kind of like outpoints you. Like his, in my opinion, his fighting style very much contradicts his personality, which I guess it's kind of cool because there's like a juxtaposition or whatever. But I don't see what good that does him against Izzy unless he grapples.
But even if he grapples, Izzy said that if Robert Whitaker won his fight, he was going to take the trilogy and and win by submission against Rob. So it's like he's been grappling. He's been I'm sure he's been training with high level grapplers. So
yeah, because he's got a crazy camp. I mean, just look at Volkanovski from there too. I mean, he just had a tremendous win as well. I mean, if that's probably one of the best MMA like teams out there right now.
Dude, how hard is Dan Hooker? We'll probably get into that, but that whole team is nuts to me.
Yeah, they're all talented. I wish Dan Hooker could string some victories together. He had it rough, right? He had to welcome Chandler to the UFC and just got caught, which sucks. And
had to fight Islam.
Man, I hate Islam.
Yeah, he ran from Volkanovski. I like that Volkanovski hold on. It's like, dang, you didn't want the rematch after all, huh?
Yeah. Hopefully Charles. I want Charles to win so bad in that fight because
I want Charles to win too. I think he's a lot better. I think the moment got to him that last time. I hope because he just didn't even like seem like himself even in the other fights. You know, like he just seemed very like out of it just from the get go. So I hope he had that energy and the aggressiveness that it's benefited him, you know, in the past.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well. You know what's funny is I actually picked Beneil Dariush to beat him, and Oliveira just fucked his ass. It was crazy.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, Dariush like worked so hard to get to that moment, so I felt bad for him too.
I feel like he almost got Ferguson, except he didn't get like hurt as bad, like how Ferguson did against Gaethje. You know, I think they're at different stages in their career.
Yeah, Dariush just got skipped over so many times. It's like, how's he gonna make? Like, I think his title run is kind of over because for him to get back to the top,
I think he'll be back. I think they need to make him versus Fiziev, and he beats Fiziev, and then keeps working his way up.
Who's he gonna fight?
I just spitballed that off the top of my head, but Fiziev lost to Gaethje and is similarly a little bit lower ranked than what Dariush is ranked, but they're, I don't know, man, they're within proximity of each other, unless either of them had a fight made recently and I'm not aware of it.
No. I like Beneil just because he's an OC guy, right? I always got to root for the Orange County fighters, but when I just look at that top 10, I'm just like, all right. I feel like he got to that position before a lot of those fighters got there, and he just kind of sat around. Obviously, not his choice, for a lot of it, but, when he finally got a fight, you kind of saw what happened. It doesn't get any easier.
I think Fiziev makes sense because he already beat Gamrot. And pretty much everyone else like within the top 10 is kind of, or top five is kind of spoken for. Unless Chandler or McGregor falls through or something, then maybe you could have them fight. But I could see them putting Beneil against maybe like a Armin Sarukian or something along those lines. Someone that's just like kind of on the cusp.
Mm-hmm. Are either of you watching Tough?
No.
Yeah. Is it still airing?
Yeah. It just got to the semifinals. It was like I guess the veterans versus the newcomers was a bad idea because the veterans beat the newcomers 7-1.
Yeah. What I know of it is that Chandler's team is just mopping Team McGregor.
Yeah. I walk by this, it's like Olympic Golf Center at the mall that I go to, and I'll see it on the TV sometimes, but I'm walking by. I'm not that interested. But that whole situation to me is kind of wacky. Is that fight is definitely not happening this year unless there's like some, you know, backdoor deals with USADA and Conor McGregor in the UFC, which they've done before with Brock Lesnar, if anybody remembers. Yeah. But I wouldn't be too happy about it. I think
there's a lawsuit with that.
Oh, it's still going. I thought he lost.
I don't know. I don't.
I thought remember. He gave up because he didn't have enough money.
Well, maybe.
That sucks. Justice for Mark Hunt. I like Mark Hunt.
I like Mark Hunt too, but you know, he was one of those whistleblowers that kind of got, you know, stomped out, and you know, that's an example why people don't want to speak up, don't want to try to take a stand, because they don't want to end up like Mark Hunt. They don't want to end up like Randy Couture. They don't want to end up, you know, getting excommunicated. And it's rough to go against like the, you know, entity of the UFC, because if you look at, you know, who they're owned by, there's just so much money behind them that chances of you, you know, making a mark, it's not likely.
Yeah, and in terms of McGregor, I figure he's got to be on something just for his leg to heal that quick, right?
Yeah, that's why he left the pool. That's like, that's a common knowledge. Yeah. Everybody was like, yeah, duh. Like, why wouldn't you do that? Cause even, who was it? Aljamain Sterling said that. He's like, dude, if I was in Conor McGregor's position, I'd do the same thing. Like, why is that bad, to heal faster when we're not in competition? It's not,
yeah.
You know,
I think it's kind of interesting too that, McGregor's, he doesn't need to fight. He's got all the money in the world. I think coming back from an injury like that and wanting to fight, like, kind of proves that he's still super into it and identifies as that first and foremost, you know. But
yeah, but history,
you got bored. Historically, yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's just like, and for him, he's one of those fighters where it's like, dude, you got destroyed by Dustin Poirier back to back, and you lost to Khabib. It's like, it's not looking good, man. I don't want to remember this Conor McGregor, right? I want to remember the one that changed the sport forever, the one that did a lot of good. But it's like, why are you still fighting? You're not going to, okay, for 100%, he's never making it to the title shot again if he has to fight his way up, right? He can be handed a title shot. That could happen. But he's not fighting his way through the top 10 of light heavyweight. He's not finding his way through the top 10 of welterweight. So it's just, it's just, to me, pointless for him to be fighting. And I get it, he wants to fight, it's his ego, whatever, but he's just hurting himself, because he's not going to win these fights. His leg's fucked, right? Look at everybody that's had that leg break. Like I've said it before, they're not the same. You know, Chris Weidman's coming back, so I guess the verdict's still out on him. We'll see how he looks, but it's been what, almost like 4 years since Chris Weidman's leg break, and it's like the sport's passed him. Like he's talking about making his way up to Izzy. He's sounds so delusional, which sucks to say because I'm a huge Chris Weidman fan, but you're not gonna do it. There's no way.
I know that.
Cut that clip, and then like Weidman, he's all holding up the belt. He's like, ah, we'll just play that clip in front.
Dude, look at the welterweight, dude. It's not happening.
Yeah.
No. Who, did they make a fight
older with Weidman? Yeah. Weidman's coming back.
Who's he fighting? It's Tavares, right?
Yeah, he's Brian. Poor Tavares. He's always like the guy, like, maybe they'll be able to beat this guy. Let's give him Tavares, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, he's fighting. Yeah.
Oh man!
And you know what he said, because he went on the MMA Hour and he said the first thing that he's going to do when he gets in that fight is he's going to throw the hardest leg kick that he can just to get his nerves out of it. And I'm just like, dude, this guy is crazy. He should just enjoy his health. He does, you know, he's been doing like those weigh-in shows. He should, you know, I love Chris Weidman, but like I said, dude, it's like It's not going to be good.
I hated Chris Weidman for a real long time because Anderson Silva was like my favorite fighter for years and years and years.
Okay.
And it was brutal seeing Silva go out. In fact, I was talking with somebody about this today.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget where I was and how it happened, seeing Anderson Silva lose to Weidman like that the first time. It was just utterly shocking and just made me hate Weidman forever, even though he's awesome. I've come around to him. I like Weidman a lot.
I was going
to
say, that's crazy because Silva's lost before Weidman.
Yes, but not like that. That one kind of cut deep a little bit. But
I felt like he deserved that because when I think back to like all the dancing he did to Damian Maya, it's like, all right, you're going to be disrespectful to Chris Weidman. And if I'm being honest, I remember like all of the MMA insiders that I followed, everybody was picking Chris Weidman. And for me, I just knew Chris Weidman as Gian Vellante's sidekick. And I was like, okay, this guy's, he's been doing good. He got, lucky and took, got brought into the UFC for like a last minute fight and was able to, make his mark. But then for him to get up to Anderson Silva and defeat him, I thought it was insane because, it was that time period, right, where Anderson Silva, GSP, like they're all these dominant champions. And then for him to get dethroned, it was like, holy shit. Like, it's,
yes.
Yeah, like this whole new wave's coming.
Yeah. So I really like Weidman, mm-hmm. for sure. It just, for selfish reasons, it took me a while to kind of come around to him,
I get it.
But not even so much his leg, which is just like a huge thing, the damage he's taken beyond that, and the sport evolving over the past 4 years, like the Luke Rockhold fight, that like had to have taken like a year off his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was winning that fight till he threw that spinning shit. And...
Bullet, Valentina, all these people can do in spinning shit and getting caught.
Yeah.
Even though they're better than that.
Yeah, because look at, he threw that spinning shit against Rockhold and got taken down and beat up. And then it went into the next round, then he got finished. And yeah, his career was never the same after that. He had some good wins, but yeah. He was never able to recapture that title, which is crazy.
Well, he's got another chance.
It ain't going to be a good one. I'm going to be scared to watch a fight because if he goes out and throws the hardest leg kick like he says he's going to do, imagine if he breaks it again.
Yeah. It'd be crazy to break a metal rod in your leg, but yeah. It'd definitely fracture, maybe. I don't even know how that works.
What happens if he does win? Then who do you fight? Just some straight up fucking killer?
Khamzat.
Yeah.
Everybody fights Khamzat.
I kill everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, but I don't know. There's just certain fighters that, like older fighters that I just wish. Like even, I guess we can start to get into the card this weekend. Even someone like Steven Wonderboy Thompson. It's like, I love Wonderboy. He's a great fighter, great person outside the cage. But I feel like he's like 40 years old. He's coming to the end of his career, and it's like, okay, cool. Like he's not getting like destroyed. But I feel like it's almost time for him to call it.
I wouldn't be surprised, because you look at the Holland fight, I think, had a lot of success in it, but you could tell, he was starting to slow down a bit, even in that fight, yeah. And he's just, never going to become champ at the rate, he is currently, so why take more damage when you can do a lot more, train the next generation, he's well-spoken, he can be a part of the broadcast or different things, and he has a mindset for fighting in general.
What he should do, whole life. Tell Dana White, hey, let me fight out my contract. I'm gonna call up Boss Rutten. I'm gonna go to Karate Combat. And I'm gonna be their champ. That's what he should do. Because MMA gets tougher when you're older.
Yeah.
But he goes to karate combat. It's over. He owns
that sport. Like, he would probably would have went straight to that if that was around back in the day.
Yeah.
This is such a good... Honestly, it's a pretty good card, though. I mean, you look at the lineup and you're just like, you can pretty much recognize every single name for the most part.
Yeah. Where do you guys want to start? I just want to start at the prelims, or how do you guys want to do it?
Yeah. Let's start with Jake Matthews.
Good old Jake Matthews.
Kind of coming back, you know, he's been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Been showing like a new side of him.
But Darius Flowers.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, good fight. I mean, I feel like that's this whole card in general is like all the way through pretty good matchups, like things I'd be interested in, you know, because he pretty evenly matched all the way through, I would say.
Except for when you get to Derek Lewis. What happened to Derek Lewis?
Just old. I mean, he's always kind of talked about, you know, retiring even before, you know, last couple fights.
But someone who fought for the title and now he's just mid prelims. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he took a lot of damage. His last couple fights have been pretty hard to watch and he hasn't really had much output. He's kind of said that he's changed because he said his last fight, he almost like passed, like almost fainted in the middle of like weight cutting, which is, you know, heavyweight. You know, it's not like very common to cut too much weight because, you know, there's such a big gap in compared to all the other divisions that if he was like had to cut enough weight where he felt like he was going to pass out or even like they were saying his coaches were having to keep him up, you know, because he was so freaking bad and drained. And that was like something that taken into this fight, he wanted to change. And so it makes you wonder just how much of his like eating habits and things like that just kind of caught up to him. And I don't know if it's going to reverse his position now, but he has a good chance of knocking out the guy he's fighting, De Lima.
I think he's just rich. He's happy with it, honestly. And he gets paid a good amount of money, whether he wins or loses at this point. Like, it doesn't feel like he's at a spot where it's like make or break and that he's just kind of a bigger draw already, which is weird that he's, well, maybe it's not that weird that he's in the prelims because people will for sure want to watch him. So that could bring more attention to the prelims. It's just weird to me that he wouldn't be headlining the prelims. But I feel like Rich at this point has accepted that, you know, he can lose, still get a bunch of money, he'll win, get a little bit more money. And maybe that's just him as a person where he's at with it at this point, you know? Plus, he's a heavyweight. And heavyweights can have, like, way longer careers.
Yeah, but if the UFC is getting tired of paying you so much money because you keep on losing, you know, the well's going to go dry.
Bellator would swoop him up for sure.
Bellator's not going to be around.
Or whoever. Some other organization would take him.
Yeah, well, you don't want to get brained. I mean, he's been knocked out pretty bad a few times. So, I mean, it's like, do you really want to not be able to function properly later in life, you know, if you make enough money? It's like, I think if he gets a pretty good win or knockout, I wouldn't be surprised if he just retires too and like call it a day because you can't keep taking those type of hits. You know, you just see him fall face first and you're like, oh God, you know, like that's always the worst.
I feel like the Ciryl Gane fight kind of put him in that trajectory. Mainly because he was known for being just like the knockout king or whatever, and his wins are all striking based. And the fact that he's getting knocked out like this over and over again is probably indicative of maybe he's not training in a way to where he's wanting to evolve anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's also
maybe he's lost a step.
I think it's one of those things where the heavyweights are just a little more talented.
And, yeah.
You know, he doesn't provide that much, dynamic range when it comes to his skills, right? He just likes to strike. So there's not a whole lot you have to really prepare for when you're going up against Derek Lewis. You just got to worry about his power.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that he won against Francis, too.
Well.
Hey, yeah. You can't take that against them, dude.
Yeah, no, he won. Kinda. But it's not like he beat up Francis.
I know. That was one of the worst fights you'd ever see. Oh, God. I remember honestly, the Blades fight almost went like that, too. I remember I was talking to Jamie when the Blades fight was happening with Lewis, Derek Lewis, and we were just like, what's going on? Like, nothing really, like, Blades was just kind of dictating everything. And then just out of nowhere, he KO'd him. And that's the thing about Derek Lewis. He just has that one hit opportunity at all times. It's almost like he has a super meter that he's been building up as he's getting his ass kicked. And then he just does the super movement and does a fatal KO,
It makes me wonder if, say, there's a world where he doesn't fight Ciryl Gane and get, like, not brutally knocked out or finished or whatever, right? Say that fight doesn't happen and you get more of a vintage Derek Lewis versus Tai Tuivasa. You think the fight still plays out that way? I feel like vintage Derek Lewis would finish Tuivasa.
I agree.
Yeah. Tai Tuivasa is a little wild at times, and if Derek Lewis just sat, stood his ground and, like, swung with him, I think he would have been able to KO him easily.
Yeah.
Well, too bad. Unfortunately, not the case anymore. But
we'll see what he does Saturday.
Yeah.
It is weird not seeing him on the main card, though.
He's not main card material.
I know Jamie's happy for Maverick coming back.
Oh, dude. I'm so excited for that fight. I think Chiesa is going to just smoke Holland. I think he runs through Holland.
Holland is not that good, if I'm being honest. People just like him because he talks shit. He does, his showboating during the fight, but he's not that good of a fighter. Yeah. I think this is a layup for Chiesa, and I'm so pumped to see him back.
I think it's a layup for Chiesa, and I think it's a stylistic mismatch.
Yeah, because Holland, I think Chiesa is better in every aspect than Holland, whether it be the striking, the ground game.
I don't know about striking, but the ground game for sure.
You don't think Chiesa is a good striker?
I think Chiesa is more well-rounded overall. Yeah, he just has the complete moveset, and Holland, I think if they keep it standing, Holland has more of a chance, but I don't see Chiesa just strictly staying like that. He's going to, go to his bread and butter and take him down and really dominate him. And that I don't see Holland being able. And also, this is at altitude. You know what I mean? Like, they're in Utah. This is it adds a whole nother wrinkle to this. And so when you have someone wrestling the hell out of you who's been there acclimating, Holland came barely maybe a day before the press conference. And so, it's not good to not acclimate to, a different level of.
Well, I think Kim and Chiesa got there the same day. So it's even.
Yeah. I guess we'll see who has the better cardio then. But yeah, I think people underestimate that. Some people were there, like Alex Vieira has been there, like he has a house there. So he was living there for a bit.
Yeah, well, he's probably gonna need it because he might gas. But I'm not a fan of Kevin Holland. I think Chiesa takes it easy.
Yeah, I think Chiesa. I think this was made on purpose to kind of get Chiesa back in there. Not to say Holland doesn't have a puncher's chance. He's pretty crafty. He's done some pretty wild stuff. Look at Jacare. Finish. No one's ever really finished something in that style. So, if he's very aggressive, I could see it, but on paper.
He's trash. he's trash. He got ragdolled by some little Swedish guy.
And Khamzat just destroyed him too, but
that's what I'm talking about.
they would have called him by his other place, but what about
Cumshot? Colby Covington is the greatest. Colby Covington is going to be the best welterweight champion. He's going to destroy Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards needs to sign the contract, stop running. Colby Covington is going to make that division great again. Period.
Unless he has brain damage.
He doesn't. He already recovered. He recovered. That's why.
I didn't recover from brain dead.
You take time off. You let your body heal. He's been rested. He's been calling out Leon. Brain dead? Yeah. Because he got sucker punched by. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he was claiming. That's why he's suing him.
He was it's not. He wasn't claiming. He went to the doctors. He's medical proof. When you get sucker punched, you take brain damage. Your head's not okay when you get sucker punched by a professional MMA fighter.
Fair. Yeah, but with no gloves added to that.
Too. Yeah, no gloves.
If you're not, dude, a hit that you're not expecting hurts a lot more than one that you're expecting. That's for sure.
Yeah. So tell your boy Leon Edwards to stop running.
That's what fought since. Like, honestly, I hate when people get the belt.
And he's been trying. Colby was calling him out to fight in London, but they had to call him Tom Aspinall because Edwards is scared.
Yeah. And then Ferguson versus Bobby Green.
Oh, man.
I don't want to see Tony Ferguson ever fight again. It makes me uncomfortable.
Same here, but you know, I gotta root for the Orange County guy.
He's going to his prime. What are you guys talking about? Yeah. He's in his prime, like he's barely reaching it. That's what he's saying.
I'm rooting for him for sure. And initially, like, I had picked him to beat Bobby Green just because Green is, with all due respect, kind of like a level down in competition versus who's Ferguson's been fighting. But I hope, because I don't want to see someone like Ferguson get hurt anymore. You know what I mean? And that could happen against Green. I don't love the fight.
Well, I'm picking Bobby Green. Unfortunately,
yeah, I pick Bobby Green too, which sucks because I always want to root for Tony Ferguson most of the time. Yeah. But yeah, I think Green beats him.
And I just hope that, you know, we can get through this fight clean, right? No headbutts, nothing weird.
I think he viciously knocks Ferguson out.
You're crazy.
At least it's only three rounds. I think it'll be a decision for Green. I think Green is going to probably be just more aggressive than Ferguson. Ferguson's going to be doing his, like, you know, movement and things like that, and just kind of maybe be passive. I don't think he's going to get starched.
I hope not. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, I guess. I mean, even if you look back at the Chandler fight, he got just destroyed in terms of the upkick. But in that first round, he wasn't doing that bad, to be honest. Like, he seemed a lot better than, you know, other fights. So, Bobby Green, like, being at the level he is, I think it's a lot more of an even match than maybe we think. I guess we'll find out, but yeah, I think it's what you guys said. Green's going to take that, but I mean, not,
with all due respect to our beloved Nate Diaz, Ferguson did not look good in that fight.
Yeah,
they're too friendly, like hugging and stuff. This is weird.
Well, I guess he wasn't originally going to fight him either, so it's kind of like hard to really hold it against him because, you know, Khamzat was supposed to fight Diaz.
Yeah, and he got scared. So he's all like, that bullshit. I'm not going to cut weight. What a weirdo. That guy's a weirdo. I hate that guy.
People would have been cut for doing shit like that. But just because of his namesake, you know, he's got away with it, which is kind of bullshit. But, you know, he should have been punished a lot more for that.
He wasn't punished. He was rewarded. He's like, they're like, here's an easy victory. Here's this guy who can't decide which weight class he wants to get beat up in. Here's a free victory. Let's try to pump you up and you know, try to get everybody to forget that you're not the best fighter. You're not Bo Nickel. You're not John Jones.
Yeah. So from there, we got your boy Wonder Boy versus fucking
God.
Fucking guy going, Michelle, fucking dude, that guy's nuts. See, I mean, he was even saying he's like going to throw everything he has. So that's going to be a pretty cool fight. I could see that dude knocking out Wonder Boy, but I think Wonder Boy's going to keep it a distance and really play it safe, not really fall into the weird tactics this dude does and like the flips and all that. He's just going to let that dude gas out and, you know, probably ride a decision. But
Yeah. It does. I don't know if he'll gas out because he went like 14 of like the last 15 minutes of his last three fights. So I think he'll be fine in the, stamina department, but I think Wonderboy's just gonna do Wonderboy and fight him at that karate stance and not let him get in and just kind of counter fight and make it very frustrating and not engage.
Agreed. I think Wonderboy probably plays it pretty safe and cruises to a decision.
Yeah, that's what I would do because you got three rounds, so there's very little room for error. And he's aware and embedded. He's talking about, he does exactly what I do, but he does the capoeira mixed in, so it's a little crazy. So I think he'll be fine. He's fought so many high-level people. I think he'll be just fine in this fight against Michel.
Yeah. It should be an entertaining fight, though.
Yeah, 100%.
And then co-main. Woo! This is an interesting fight, to be honest, because honestly, Jan, he's not a bad fighter. Like, he's pretty good. I mean, he's smart because he's able to adapt, because even look at the Izzy fight, how he, saw the success in the wrestling and he just immediately was, turned it and like squeaked out that victory pretty well. So I kind of feel like he'd be crazy to just sit there and stand with this dude. Like, he needs to take him down. If it's a standing exchange, because even in the press conference, Alex pointed out every time Jan's been knocked out, it's from a left cross. And what's the strongest weapon in Alex's arsenal? The left cross. I mean, that's what he knocked out Izzy with. So, I mean, what, is history going to repeat itself? Is he going to have that, sure hit? Jan has to take him down. But honestly, I think Alex is going to win. I think he has the strength. I think he is just going to overpower him. He's fucking massive. I don't even know how he made 185. And now he's not going to have that drain, that cut. Not to the extent. I think he has it.
I'm just worried because this is another instance where you get knocked out. It should take some time to recover. And I don't know if it's the UFC dangling, hey, this is, you're getting fast-tracked again to be another champion. And that's why he took this fight. But that's just the only thing that I'm concerned about is that what if he came back too soon? Because he got knocked out cold by Izzy, right? It's not like it was a TKO. He got, sent to the Shadow Realm. And for him to come back so soon just has me a little concerned because how much has he had, time to recover? Like, what if you get, knocked out and then he's still super susceptible to get knocked out again? It's going to be a lot easier if your brain hasn't healed. So that's just my big concern.
I'm picking Polish Power to win this fight. I got Jan Blachowicz winning. I think he finishes Podetta, and I think he does it inside of two rounds. I think he uses the grappling to his advantage, and if Podetta is able to stop the takedown and keep it at distance and kind of make it more striking oriented, then obviously it favors him. But I think what you mentioned with the knockout happening so recently, I think moving up a weight class, yes, he's not going to have as hard as a weight cut, but he's going to be dealing with an entirely different type of like strength and power level. And with that, it's going to be much harder grappling if he gets taken down. I think Jan Blachowicz knows that and is going to use it to his advantage. I have Jan Blachowicz within two.
I'm still picking Alex. Only because I've been watching the embedded, and they've shown Jan doing a little too much sightseeing, not enough training. So I got Alex by knockout.
Do we know the odds on that fight?
It's a pick'em right now. They're both like 110. Is it really? Negative 110. Yeah. They're like, I think everyone's like, kind of like, maybe, I think it's a pretty good matchup because Jan definitely has the tools to beat him. He just needs to have a good game plan and really take his power seriously. And he could definitely win 100%.
I think it looks like the Izzy fight with less standing, because that was like amongst other things, was like a clear path to victory, in my opinion, for Jan versus Izzy. And I think he's going to leverage that sooner, or attempt to leverage it sooner versus Panetta. I think it works.
I don't think so. He can grapple. People think he can't grapple.
Okay. I'm excited.
We'll find out pretty soon.
Pick him. I'm just picking
Polish power. Is, I mean, it is a pick. I'm like, it literally is like the same odds for either one. So,
who are you picking, Nate?
Alex. I think he's going to do it. I think, like I said, he's from, like, he has a house in Utah. He's training a Glover. I've been seeing, like, I was watching, like, the embeddings and stuff too. And that dude is, like, looking sharp. And he even pointed out, he was like, I defeated Adesanya with a TKO, and he came back and beat me, you know, like, and pretty quickly too. He didn't take too much time to recover.
I forgot about the Glover thing. That makes a difference. Glover can point out things about Jan that somebody else wouldn't be able to just because of their history. But I still pick Jan.
All right. Well, this Saturday, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Now we got the main event, the baddest motherfucker.
God, I hate this title. This is the stupidest thing. It's so corny.
BMF, baby.
I've never once celebrated the BMF title. It's so stupid. So stupid.
Let the hate flow through you, Jamie.
Yeah. Let's make up a fake belt. We're not going to give them any pay-per-view points, any championship points. We're just going to have a stupid fake belt that means nothing. It's so stupid. So stupid. Poirier, again. He's going to destroy Justin Gaethje just like he did the first time. Nothing's changed. They both gotten better, but Poirier is just a better fighter. 100%. I hate this fight. I hate Justin Gaethje.
I think Gaethje is definitely improved. He's definitely has a lot more to his skill set than he did when he fought Poirier, but it's not like Poirier has been standstill either. He's gotten way better since then as well. I think Poirier is gonna win. It's not like I don't think Gaethje can't, because he's definitely has the power and the ability, but I think Poirier is just a lot more technical overall. And I think he's gonna use that to his advantage and be able to, I mean, the only thing I see is Gaethje, you know, actually using his full skill set of wrestling and et cetera, and that could be a path to victory, like actually putting it all together. But I don't, he kind of gets in that, you know, mood where he throws more than he thinks about things logically sometimes, and I think Gaethje is just gonna get caught from something. But who knows, I'll pressure with it. You know, it's a great matchup.
No pressure. Poirier has been here before.
Okay, so I disagree with both of you. I think Gaethje wins this fight. I think since the first time they fought, Gaethje's improvement has been way more dramatic than Poirier's improvement. I think they were pretty evenly matched in that first fight, but Gaethje took the reckless fright train kind of style and it bit him in the ass. I think he learned from it. I think he's going to fight. I don't think cautious is the right word, but I think he's going to fight much more strategically. And I think that weighs in his favor. And I think he beats Poirier.
No, I don't think so. Look at the way he fought Chandler. It's the way he's always fought. Look at the way he fought Fazeev. The same way he's always fought. Even if he used all of his skills as wrestling, doesn't matter. Poirier is better than him in every aspect of MMA.
Do you think that Poirier is a better striker than Fazeev?
Yes. Poirier beats all of them.
I'd say Poirier is a pretty good, like, probably one of the best boxers in that division. Probably the best in that division, I would probably say. But,
I pick Gaethje.
Yeah. I mean,
history will repeat itself.
Gaethje has strength. I mean, Chandler had Poirier pretty bad, you know, in the first, but I mean, that's the thing, is his perseverance. He was able to recover and, you know,
Chandler, I love Chandler, but he just can't finish.
Yeah.
He had everybody hurt.
Dude, yeah. There's so many Charles. He could have won. every of his past fights, he could have been like, wow, that guy could have won right there. But he'd beat McGregor 100%, but
Dustin Poirier is going to be the better fighter again. He's just too good. And okay, and I love Trevor Whitman, but like, if you look at his recent track record, it's not good. I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know if the Onyx is getting to him, but something happened. We got Rose leaving her weight class. She'd been gone for too long. Usman, where the hell is he at these days? It ain't looking too good over there.
It's crazy how some of these major gyms have just kind of like fell apart. Like, look at Winklejohn, you know, like Holly Holm needs to get the hell out of there too.
Well, when you disrespect the main guy, of course, the guy who the actual brains behind everything. Greg Jackson. Greg Jackson was why that gym was what it was. Not Winklejohn. Winklejohn was just riding his coattails. Because if you look at you know, a lot of the people, they're working with Brandon Gibson. They ain't really working with Winklejohn.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's back up a second. Do you guys fully like dislike Justin Gaethje? Like, as a fighter? No.
I don't like him. Justin Gaethje. Maybe
doesn't like him, but honestly, it was funny because I was one of my coworkers. He was talking about like how he wants Gaethje to win like so bad too, because that's like his favorite fighter. I'm just like,
oh man,
I'm like, nah, he's gonna get it. He's saying, but that's the thing with MMA. Like, it's not to say Gaethje doesn't have a chance. I think he
doesn't have a chance. He's the same fighter. He's the same fighter since he entered the UFC.
I don't know about that. He's definitely changed up a little bit.
What has he changed up? Watch his first fight, watch his last fight. It's the same exact fight. All he does is strike.
Yeah, you sound like you're about to fight him. You sound like you're at the press conference right now. I'm telling him, like, what has he changed? What has he done?
I'm looking forward to this card so much more now. I thought there was a chance that we were all going to kind of like agree on most of this. And like, it's not that at all. I'm stoked on it.
I think because this is a pretty good card. I think there's a lot of good matchups, and there's a lot of things that you just don't know. You know, like, that's the beauty of MMA. You can have different opinions and be totally wrong, and something that you wouldn't even think would happen is what, you know, occurs. So
yeah, just look at Justin Gaethje's record. It ain't that good. I have it in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay,
dude.
Okay, his first fight in the UFC. First fight in the UFC. Michael Johnson. He wins by TKO, which, okay, Michael Johnson, they're obviously not going to give him top tier competition. But then he goes on a 2-fight losing streak, loses to Eddie Alvarez, Dustin Poirier, 2 top level guys, right? And then he goes on a 4-fight winning streak against a couple of bums. James Vick, trash. Edson Barbosa, trash. Donald Cerrone, the grandpa, trash. Tony Ferguson, come on. And then he beats Tony, whatever. He meets Khabib. We all know.
Hold on. Don't brush over. He beats Tony, whatever.
Yeah.
He changed the trajectory of Tony Ferguson's life.
And that was, you got to remember that was after the knee injury. It was already, come on. Come on. He tore that. Hey, they set him up at ESPN. They're like, this guy's going to beat our guy Khabib. Somebody go set a cable so he can tear his knee up. We can't have him show up to the fight.
I was laughing during the press conference because Bobby Green, like you're saying, because Tony Ferguson said that when he ran into Bobby Green at the hotel, he saw fear in his eyes. Bobby Green's like, look at my eyes now. Look at my eyes now. He's like, you can't see shit because you have the sunglasses. This is why you tripped on that cable. Fucking die.
Yeah.
I was like, dad, that was a good.
And then, okay, beats Tony, injured Tony. So it wasn't prime Tony. And then loses to Khabib, you know, which is fair. Khabib's really good. Beats Michael Chandler, which, whatever, Michael Chandler, he's good. But once again, he's not that good.
Dude,
Go ahead.
In the past 5 years, he's lost to Khabib and Charles Oliveira. There's no shame in that. That does not mean he's not good.
Who has he beat?
When's the last time you've seen a boring Justin Gaethje fight?
I don't like his fights. I've openly said that. His fights, I could go watch better street fight videos. Fight comps on Twitter. Come on. Justin Gaethje just goes out there. It ain't that good.
Yeah, you gotta get roasted, dude.
It ain't that good. He fights the same. He fights the same.
I wouldn't even feel bad if Gaethje won this time. Now
he's not going to win.
For the sake of Jeff,
you think Dustin Poirier, who almost lost his leg, who's happy to be back, you think he's going to go out there and let this loser just dictate the pace of the fight? No way.
Yeah.
Dustin Poirier is too smart and too talented.